to His return. Amen? I love singing that chorus, just Lord Jesus, come back. We want You to come back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 11. And we'll look at verse 14 this morning. He's faithful.
Amen.
Amen. We worship You, Lord. We bless You this morning. We honor You. Hallelujah. We glorify You. Just worship Him this morning. Just worship Him. Just sing that chorus with me. Come, Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come on, let's worship Him. Sing it again. Come, Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. One more time, let's let Him know He's wanted. Come, Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Hallelujah, Lord. We want You to come back. Oh, we want You to come back. We worship You, Jesus. We bless You this morning. We praise Your name. We thank You. Just as the Son of Man went up, is the same way You're going to come back. So we thank You, Lord, that if we don't die a natural death, we will see Your return. And so we thank You that it's coming. We thank You it's coming. We worship You this morning, Jesus. You are real. We bless You and honor You. We thank You for Your mercy. Help me to preach the Word this morning. Help me to say what needs to be said. As I open my mouth, fill it. May I speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that I'm going to say things this morning that are going to touch people's lives and transform them. And Father, we're going on to greater things, and we'll never be the same after this service. We are going to have an encounter with the living God, and you can't walk away from that and not be changed. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, it says in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, talking about the fig tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Now, skip down to verse 19. And in the morning, and when the evening was come, He went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto Him, Master, behold, the fig tree which You cursed has withered away. What's He saying? It changed. Peter was amazed and astonished that the natural had been changed by the words of Jesus. Now, if you were here for the faith series, we know it's our words that change things.
Amen.
Amen? Words are like rain, and rain comes down and hits the atmosphere, and it changes it for the better. That's why we believe in Mark chapter 11, 23, He'll have what He says, because our words are power. When we put the Word of God in our mouth, it's power. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, my God, when He spoke, the worlds were flung into existence. Stars were put in their place. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Peter was surprised by that, and I love what Jesus said unto him. I mean, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And then He goes on, I'm not going to read 23 and 24, but then He says, for verily I say unto you, so He addresses Peter, but then He addresses all of us in this verse. He says, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain. So He addresses Peter first, and then He addresses all of us. And what he's saying is, what you saw happen, the natural changing, is not something that's just reserved for God. It's not something that's just reserved for preachers. It's something that's reserved for all of us. If you're a whosoever, you qualify. And guess what? You're a whosoever. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll go back to verse 22, if you would, please. It said, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And then what He says is, from that foundation, from that platform, you'll be able to actually speak to mountains. You'll actually be able to pray and believe that when you pray, you receive. And that the faith can bring what wasn't there, can bring it into the natural. Can move things out, can move things closer. But here it is, when we talk about faith, I truly believe, and maybe I should have preached this series before the faith series, but I'm just doing the best I know how to follow my spirit. So I believe this is in season for today. Not that I can't make mistakes, but I know that I've followed my heart on this. So he must have a reason. His ways aren't my ways. His thoughts aren't my thoughts. But I truly believe if we're going to be mountain movers, faith giants, you know, that can stand before Goliaths, stand before mountains and not tremble and speak what we believe and actually believe it's going to come to pass and move those mountains, I really believe the foundation that it stems from is having a strong relationship with God. And what do you mean by that? Well, he's the one that's going to cause the money to come. He's the one that's going to cause the situation to change. He's the one that's going to bring the healing. And so ultimately, when we're speaking and we're believing, it's in him that we're believing to do the moving. Amen? We know it's not our faith that moves things. It's God working through our faith that moves things. We need our faith. It's a necessary part of the process, just like to get the oil and gas out of the ground, like we've showed you. You need the pipeline. But it's not the pipeline that brings the change. It's the oil and the gas that brings the money, brings the change, brings the resources. It's the same with God. It's him that brings the change, but he needs our faith to flow through. But I truly believe that we'll be strong faith people if we have a strong relationship with him. And when I make general statements like this, I'm not trying to be fanatical or, you know, cause a big stir and, you know, to try to be dramatic or anything. But I know this from talking, because I talk with people, that a lot of people do not have a strong relationship with God. They don't have a strong personal connection with him. Amen? They just don't. A lot of people have maybe just used God as an insurance policy to what? Go to heaven. A lot of people just like the idea of believing they're saved and going to church because, you know, it makes them feel better about themselves. It makes them feel morally okay and things like that. And a lot of people don't have strong relationship with God. And one of the reasons I know is because I hear people talk. If people had, what do I mean? If God was real to a person, they would have a strong relationship with him. Amen. I'm talking, God was, they really, because it's like kind of like this. Well, I remember it this way. I went turkey hunting with my cousin, Sarah, I call her Bear. And she was with me all day. And I remember thinking about a relationship with God, you know, that, and not just communicating with him. I'm talking in the way we talk, the way we live our lives, what we allow ourselves to look at, what we allow ourselves to touch, what we allow ourselves to do, what we think about his house, how we honor his house, how we honor things of God, how we honor ministers of God, how we honor brothers and sisters in Christ, that there's such a lack of a reality of the realness of God based off of people's mentalities, people's actions, people's words. And I remember turkey hunting with her, and I thought, my goodness, you know, the Lord is always present. And yet we'll go, you know, what I meant by it was she was with me all day. It would have been weird for me not to talk with her. It would have been weird for me not to commune with her. You know, she's a girl, so if we go into a restaurant or store, I open the door for her. I let her go first. It would have been weird for me to live as if she wasn't real. What would that mean, you know? Just hop in my truck and drive away without her getting in, or, you know, going in the woods and walking around where she doesn't know where she's going, or going to a restaurant and walking in front of her or not opening her door, things like that. I mean, those types of things would have been like, she must not be in existence. I thought, that's the way people are with God. They don't have a reality of his realness. Because I believe if they had a true picture of the realness of God, they would go towards him, and then they would be changed forever. You can't have an encounter with God and not be changed. You can't have an encounter with God and not be addicted to wanting more of an encounter with God. Moses went up on the mountain and came down and his face lit up. He was changed, amen? And everybody around him saw that he was changed, praise God. And so the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about how you can have an experience in getting to know your God and getting to recognize and be aware of what God does, how He moves, and little things that you might not have already known that were God in your life that would have helped you so much to realize the realness of Him, to make you go towards Him even more. Because the more we go towards Him, praise God. Well, go to Job 22 and verse 21. Look at what the Bible says here. Hallelujah. He's wonderful, isn't He? Praise God. Job 22. And again, I'm not saying it from a place of to beat you on the head like, oh, you're just faking this Christianity thing. No, I'm trying to draw you in closer to your Father. Because the more, the closer you are with Him, the more you're in His realm, in His presence, experiencing Him, having conversation with Him, having living a life day to day, understanding how He talks, how He moves, what He's doing, it will only benefit you and bless you. Job 22 and verse 21 says, acquaint now yourself. Become an acquaintance with Him. Acquaint now yourself with Him. What's it mean? To draw closer. To become acquainted with the Father. To get to know the Father. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Get to know the Father, become acquainted with Him, and the result will, you'll be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. So it's a blessing to you. Praise God. It's a blessing to you. And then flip over to James 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8. Notice this. The Lord told me 2017 was a year to draw near. Maybe I should emphasize that a little more. I know it was personally for me, but it could be carried over to the church. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. What is it? What is it? What is He saying? That nearness that we want, it comes with you starting it. It comes with you initiating the process. Amen? People say, well, a lot of people are ignorant when they say this. They say, well, I just don't know where God is, don't experience the God. And they don't understand how God is actually in their midst working, and they're ignorant of that fact. But He said, and I'm going to explain some of those things, He said, draw near to Me and I'll draw near to you. Praise God. And then when you draw near to Him and He draws near to you, you get all His abilities, all His actions, all His blessings, all His love, all His grace, all His mercy showered upon you. And that's what we want. Hallelujah. I guess what I'm trying to say as your shepherd, you know, a shepherd's kind of like the dad of the church, you know, and the sheep are kind of like the children. And the dad, a good dad always wants his kids to just be as blessed as they can. I want everybody to know God like I know God. And I'm not saying I've arrived or I've got to that place and I'm perfect. No, I'm still desiring to get to know Him more. But I know Him on an intimate and personal level. And I truly believe some of the things that people will say to me, people will make comments, and I think maybe it's because I'm a pastor, and they'll magnify my faith. They'll magnify, well, pastor, you know, wow, you're a faith giant. And the truth is, you can move mountains just as much as I can. You have the same Christ on the inside of you that I have on the inside of me, amen? You have the same Word of God to work from that I have. And so I think a lot of times people will think that, but I want to draw you closer to the God that I know, that can cause me to not fret, that can cause me to not worry, that can cause me to laugh and balk at not good circumstances, and when things go south, to shout and rejoice, because I'm so acquainted with Him. I have such a He's so real to me. I tell you, I've been touched by heaven, and I won't look back. Amen? Go to Psalms 34 and verse 8. Psalms 34 and verse 8. I am so excited for the next few services about this. I just want people to see. And see, I'll get there in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But Psalms 34 and verse 8. Now look at this. Look at what the Bible says about this. And again, this is not to come down. I've never mentioned the church that I went to or where I grew up in. I've never said the name of it. I told you the denomination, but you know, I'm not here to, you know, bash anybody or to put anybody down. But you know, the church I grew up in, and the church a lot of you grew up in, they talk about God. They tell you what God has done in times past, but there's no expectation or excitement or hope
that God's going to do it today or that God's going to move in your life. Or people think, well, he'll move in Billy Graham's life, or he'll move in Joyce Meyer's life, or Joel Osteen's life, or whoever, Charles Stanley's life, or Pastor Mike's life. But for him to move in my life, I don't know. I'll probably have to wait to get to heaven. That's just not what the Bible teaches. He says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So he says, I'm good. What's his goodness? His healing, his prosperity, his blessing, his favor, his wisdom, the answers he gives you, the protection he gives you. Praise God. But he says, I don't want you just to know about my goodness. I don't want you just to talk about my goodness, although those are good things. I don't want you just to hear about other people experiencing my goodness. He says, I want you to taste and see my goodness. What's he saying? I want you to experience me, praise God. You know, the promises and all that God offers, it's like a big buffet. You know, one of the most frustrating things, someday I will get on a cruise ship. Not because I like boats, not because I like water, I like all-night buffets. That sounds good. I mean, what in the world can be better than that? And I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, just to wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, man, pizza sounds so good right now. Oh, that's right, I'm on a cruise ship. Let me go get some. And nobody can tell you no. And then we can get mad at you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what's frustrating is hearing other people talk about cruise ships. And they talk about the food. And they talk about the spread that's laid out all the time on these things. And they talk about the fruit that was on these things. And they talk about the desserts. And they talk about the pizza buffets. They talk about the steak and the seafood. And they talk about how wonderful it was and how it was always there and it was always available. And that it was so good, the best food they've ever had. And they came home and gained 10 pounds and they just can't wait to go back and how wonderful it was. And you know what? My experience of cruise ship food is different than theirs. Why? They got to see it and taste it. All I get to do is hear about it. That's different. That's a lower form of blessing. Amen? I want to see it and then pick for myself what I want to taste. Well, that's the way it is with God. And let's face it, most people, they know, well, I know God's moving in Pastor Mike's life. I hear Pastor Michael talk. I hear Reverend Greer. I hear Brother Hagin, the stories. But where's he moving in my life? Well, for a lot of you, God has already moved quite a bit. You just haven't even recognized it. But what I want to say to you is that when you come to a recognition of how God moves on the earth, how God speaks to you, how God flows, what is God, what isn't God, when you realize those things and it makes you realize, wow, God is all around me, God is real, God is working in my life, oh man, it changes everything. Because one of the things that's so hard for people is God just doesn't seem real to them. Well, one of the reasons he doesn't seem real to people is they don't know him. They don't know how he operates. I remember, what I'm trying to say is when you have an experience or when you realize you've had an experience or you realize that you are experiencing God in your life, it changes everything for you to know that the God of the universe actually, with all the billions of people on planet Earth, is actually thinking about your life. It does something to you. The Bible says God is mindful. In Psalms it says, O Son of Man, I am mindful of you. Isn't that amazing? You're on his mind. Hallelujah. I remember when I got hooked. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it again because the Holy Ghost told me to tell it, so I'm going to obey him. I got born again January 10th, 2002. Well, in the spring of 2002, I was at Pastor Michael's church, which in Fredonia, that's kind of the mother home church of all the family churches. He's my pastor. At the time, it was called Bible Christian Fellowship. In the spring, they had a couple of ministers in, Kevin and Annie Durant, who also traveled with Brother Hagin, sang on the Ramah Singers and Bands, traveled around all the Crusades. Reverend Annie ministered for him a lot. She's got a strong prophetic anointing. I mean, just miracle signs and wonders flow out of them, you know. And I'd never been in services like that. Well, I had gone to the church, and I had come from a church where, man, you didn't say anything at church. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't praise God out loud. I thought, you know, I say this all the time, but it's true. I thought when I came over to a church like this, I thought I had entered the granola section of the supermarket. What's the granola section of the supermarket? The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. I mean, here people were shouting in church. Here people were amening. Here people were responding. I came from the church of the frozen chosen to the church of the thawed out real fast. I mean, it was like quick. And it, for lack of a better term, it freaked me out. And I criticized and I judged. Oh, they're just faking, you know, raising their hands. Little did I know, God was so real to them that they just had to praise Him. They just had to express themselves. And then I saw in the Word that the Bible says lifting holy hands is what He likes. That praising out of your mouth is what He likes. That's what He likes. That's what He set it up. So I learned that. I had to renew my mind to those things. But anyways, when I came over, at that time I already thought I had gone to the crazy house. But then they came along. And it was some believers' meetings. And I went with my friend, Reverend Randy Nelbo, the gentleman that led me to Jesus. As long before I was in ministry, I knew God had something for me in my life. I always felt that call, that there was something more for me to do than just live life for myself. And Reverend Kevin and A. Durant were there. Well, it was like a four-night meeting. And there were things going on in that service I'd never seen in my life. I mean, my God, I thought, seriously, what in the world has God done here? I mean, we're talking about people getting, I'd never seen anyone had hands laid on them. I'd never seen anybody fall out under the power, which, by the way, is scriptural. I'd never seen tongues and interpretation of tongues. I had never seen these types of things. And it made my flesh crawl in my mind. So if you're in that position, I know what it's like. I remember what it's like to be worshiping God and knowing that He likes my hands raised. And just, I had such a death grip on the seat in front of me. I was wearing that thing out, and I remember just, I want to be a doer of the Word. And I remember just getting a pinky in the air. It was tough. And then I remember this. I mean, I'm telling you, I remember it. So I understand what that flesh is like. The flesh can be strong and the mind can be strong. But the more God became real, the more I could give a rip about myself. And what people thought, right? And I just praise Him and just can, I mean, to stand up here and lead a chorus with nobody else singing with me like we did before service, you wouldn't believe how far I've come in my relationship with Him to not give a rip what you think about my voice, to not give a rip what I look like when I praise God. I just care about Him. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to stand before Him, not you. Right. You're going to have to stand before Him, not the person next to you that you're afraid to. You're going to have to stand before Jesus. Praise God. So anyways, I seen things I never saw before. Now, here's what I did. I at least was a little bit smart. You know, what people do that unfortunately at times, when they get bothered in their flesh and in their minds about things that are unfamiliar, they tend to run away from those things because they're uncomfortable, and I get that. And they run away from those things. And I had been in the church for 4 or 5 months. And I had seen my pastor midweek, I was going Saturday nights at that time, Saturday night service, preach the Word every single time. It was amazing. That's what hooked me, that church. I said, I can't believe this. He's preaching the Bible. I didn't know this stuff, the stuff he was sharing, I didn't even know was in the Bible, yet alone that there was even stuff that people would preach out of it, you know? And so I said to myself, you know, I trust this man. I've seen it for 4 or 5 months. He has not strayed from the Bible, and I'm smart enough to realize that I don't know everything. Do you know what pride will do? Pride will see something that's uncomfortable and say, oh, that can't be right, it's just uncomfortable. Wait a second. There's a chance that you might not know everything. Amen? There's a chance you might not know everything, and that just because things are uncomfortable to you doesn't mean they're wrong. Doesn't mean they're wrong. And I remember thinking that, well, this is very uncomfortable to me, and I want to run the opposite way. But I know enough to know that I don't know everything, and I know enough to know that my pastor's loving, and he'll sit down with me. And he did after those services. I'm going to tell you a story in a second. Well, I didn't really need for him to do that, but he did anyways, and he went through the Bible, and he showed me the things in the Word that were happening. You know, just because the majority of the body of Christ doesn't practice these things doesn't make it mean it's not the Bible. I'll tell you, the book of Acts church looks way different than the modern American churches. Oh my gosh, they were, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that when they came to church, every single one of them had something. Amen. Had a psalm, had a tongue, had a revelation. Doesn't mean they were supposed to give it, but every one of them had something. There were gifts of the Spirit just flowing, signs, wonders, and miracles flowing in those times. But we see them, and it's so weird to our flesh and so foreign that we think, oh, that can't be. No. Humble yourself And take time to look at the Word, find somebody that knows more than you, and say, well, can you show me this in the Bible? Because if it can't be explained by the Word, then that's a problem. But if it can, then that's the problem's on you, and you need to change, right? Listen, I didn't want to raise my hand or praise God out of my mouth, but you know what? The Bible said God likes that, so I had to renew my mind and conform to the Word rather than the Word conforming to me. You know, tithing wasn't very much fun to my flesh and my mind, but my job's not for the Bible to conform to me. My job is for me to conform to the Bible. Amen. So anyways, they're sitting there and I'm seeing all these things for 3 nights. And I'll tell you, I didn't get much out of those 3 nights because I was so weirded out. My mind was going crazy. And I remember just being so frustrated because everybody else was full of joy. People that I trusted, even though I saw things I didn't understand, people that I trusted were getting things from God. And it showed. They were rejoicing, excited. They were experiencing something that I wasn't. And so I went home that night in my apartment on Fredonia Street in Water, and I was going to school in Fredonia at the time. And I remember saying to the Lord, I said, man, you know, these are people I trust that love me, that follow the Bible. I just don't see why they would all of a sudden stray from the Bible. I mean, it's possible, but I'm going to wait this out and at least have somebody show me these things because I can't disprove it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, at least if you can't even disprove it, find at least something that you can disprove it or find something that'll prove it. Amen. And so I went home that night and I said, Lord, I said, I'm not getting anything out of these meetings. And people are, and I'm not. And I said to him, I said, Lord, if this is you, if what I'm seeing is you, well, I want everything that you have because you're only good and perfect. You're only wonderful and everything from you is good. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so I told him that. I had that little spiel with him. And then for about the next half an hour to an hour, I don't remember the exact time, the only words that fell from my lips were this. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. I was humbling myself. Lord, I just want more of you. I'm willing to bypass my flesh and my mind. I just want more of you. And I was sincere. And I cried out to him in that apartment on my face. Lord, I just want more of you. Now, I'm just saying, I'm all alone in my apartment now after service at nighttime, the night before the last service. So we go to the next service. And that morning I wake up. Father, I just want more of you. Lord, I'm going to prepare myself tonight. I might see some things that are uncomfortable. I might hear some things I'm not used to. But Lord, if it's you, I want more of you. I want more of you. And so I was sitting there in service, and Kevin Durant was preaching that night. If you ever heard Kevin Durant preach, he is a fireball. I mean, that guy will say anything. In fact, let me give you a story about Kevin Durant. He's awesome. He set you free. But there was a gentleman that used to go to Pastor Tim's church that looked exactly like the real Santa Claus. I mean, if there was a Santa Claus that in our midst, that was him. Looked exactly like Santa Claus. And Kevin Durant is preaching fire. And he's preaching fire so much, he jumps up on a chair and he's preaching fire and he spots the guy that looks like Santa Claus. And he stops mid-sentence and he's like, and if you ever do a Christmas play with Santa Claus, that's your guy. Right in the middle of service. I thought, my God, he'll say anything. Oh, my God. But that wasn't these messages. This was at Jamestown Church. That was the funniest thing ever. And the guy just laughed, you know, because he did. He would go to houses and play Santa Claus. I mean, he looked the part. My God. Anyways, so I'm sitting there. I said, Lord, I just want more of you. I want more of you. And so the night starts. So Kevin Durant's preaching. He's preaching fire. I mean, it's just shooting out of him. And then all of a sudden, he stops mid-sentence. And he walks over to the aisle. And I'm sitting about halfway to three-quarters back. And he walks down the aisle and he points at me. And he says, you. And man, when I knew he was pointing at me, I wanted to sink down deep. I thought, oh, that's it. This sealed the deal. I ain't ever coming back. I'm done. He said, you stand out in the aisle. Oh, what in the world was I going to tell him? No? In front of everybody? So I did. I stood out in the aisle. And I was nervous. My heart was racing. He stopped preaching in front of a church of about, there were about 200 people there that night for that meeting. They had to put out extra chairs. And he points at me. And he says, you want more of God, don't you? Well, what was I praying all the night before? All that morning and during that day, I kept uttering the same thing. Father, I just want more of you. God moved in that service. I was the only one ministered to. Now, it didn't stop there. That's enough to make you know God's real, you know? I mean, to experience with God. He said, you stand up. You want more of God, don't you? Well, when he said that, only way I can explain it is like a warmness went from here to my feet. And I lifted up my hands in front of the whole church for the first time ever. And I said, yes, I do. And I started praising God. Well, I had my eyes closed. And he came up to me. And it felt like he went, in Jesus' name, be blessed, and hit me between my eyes. I went flying back into the usher's arms. And I laid on the floor, glued to the floor, and couldn't move. And he went back to preaching. And here I was just laying on the floor, prostrate. Now, after the service, I said to Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy. Pastor Tim wasn't Pastor Tim back then, but I said, that's supernatural. I said, I didn't feel anything when he hit me. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, he hit me so hard, I literally left my feet. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. The power of God knocked me on my can without him even touching me. He said, in Jesus' name, be blessed, and it hit me. And I left my feet and flew into the usher's arms and laid on the floor and glued to the ground. Well, we see these kinds of things in the Bible when the presence of God manifests, people couldn't even stand up. So it's biblical, amen? People fell down. People dropped in their tracks. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what that did for me? That turned me on to God so much. Why? Call me a doubter and unbeliever, but it legitimized the fact that this guy is real. That God is real, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But what you have to understand, most of you, I dare to say this, all of you have had experiences with the living God. You might just not know it. And if you don't recognize what God is doing and how he moves, which is what we're going to look at the next few weeks, it won't benefit you and bless you, and you'll draw away from him. And you won't run to him, because what that experience did for me is made me run to him. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. But see, here's the thing. That wasn't my first experience with God. That was the first one that I recognized was God. But if I would have recognized it was God years earlier, a lot of things in my life would have been different. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to show you how God can move in your midst and you have no idea it's him. Because doesn't the Bible say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? If God is real, you can't help but run towards him. You can't help but want more of him, right? Hallelujah. But people live their lives like he isn't. How do I know? Church attendance is one of them. Come on, don't get quiet on me. You're here. You can amen for the other people that aren't. You're all here. We ain't talking about you today. Praise God. It's just the truth. The way people talk about God, the way people live their lives, the way people are when things show up, shows you the level of the realness of God in their life. The things that they honor, the way that they are, shows you how real God is to people. Amen. Yeah, because let me tell you something. If you really believed that Jesus Christ was showing up at 213 Pine Street at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, you'd be here. Amen. But you are, praise God. But see, no, it's a level of realness. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You'd go to see the king, to be in his presence. Yeah. If you really believed that your pastor was a gift from heaven, oh, you'd honor him more. Yeah. Oh, you'd be more of a blessing. You would. You'd pray for him more. Absolutely, it's true. Yeah. If you really believed that you were brothers and sisters and had the same dad, who's looking down on us all, we would treat one another different. If we really had a realness of God, our worry and our fear would go down. Right? I'm not saying you don't believe he's real, but there's different levels of realness of him. Amen? Amen? Yeah. We would seek him. We would pursue his plan. We would want him to be experienced in our friends and our family members. Amen. But a lot of times we don't have a recognition of his realness. The Bible says they that are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge can destroy people. Well, look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to tell you a story about how that was my first experience that I knew was God, but God was moving in my life years before, and if I would have recognized it, just like if many of you would recognize how God is moving in your life, it would change your life. Right. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Because if you're waiting for Jesus to appear to you, you might be waiting for a long time, because it doesn't happen to everybody. It's never happened to me. I've never seen him. It's never appeared to me. If you're waiting for an angel to appear to you, you might be waiting for a long time. Why? It doesn't happen to a lot of people. It's never happened to me. I've never seen an angel. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've known when they've been present. Spirit of God by the word of knowledge, but I've never seen one. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 3 said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out," so the lamp of God went out in the temple, so it's dark, "where the ark of God was. And Samuel," notice this, "Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now look at verse 4. "That the Lord," who? The Lord. "The Lord called Samuel." So the Lord is speaking in an audible voice. Now I have heard the audible voice of God one time in my life. "The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered and said, 'Here am I.'" Now you'd think by reading that verse he's responding to the Lord, but look what he did in verse 5. "And he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here am I, for you called me.' And Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back to sleep.' And he went and laid down." Well, what's happening here? God's moving in Samuel's midst, and he has no idea. He has no idea it's God. He thinks it's a man. He thinks it's just normal life, that some guy's just calling him. Yet God Almighty is moving in his midst. Praise God. Amen. Go to verse 6. "And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, 'What do you want? I'm here. For you did call me.' And he answered and said, 'I called you not, my son. Go lay down again.'" So Eli's thinking, what in the world? Either he's lost his mind or I have. I'm not sure which one it is. I trust Eli. He's telling me it wasn't him. Well, what's happening again? God's moving in his midst, and he has no idea it's God. Yeah. Oh, how God has moved in your midst, and you had no idea it was God. Yeah, it's been happened in my life many times. Verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' And Eli perceived at this time," oh, that wasn't me, it was the Lord calling him. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call you again, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant heareth.'" But what's the point? What's my point? Samuel needed to be shown in order to be successful and get what God had for him. He had to be shown how God moves. Yeah, amen. Here God Almighty was moving in his midst and he had no idea. No idea it was God. Amen. Amen. I told you about that experience in 2002. But I had an experience about 5 years earlier, in 1996, in the fall, an experience with God that would, if I'd have known it was God, it would have saved me in the next 5 years of torment and torture and my mind and my body and different things like that. You know, every time I share this testimony, it's always for a purpose. And when I do, every single time I've ever shared it, it's always set somebody free. I remember I shared it in the old building. Service was over and I preached long. I know that doesn't surprise you, but I did. I preached long and longer than normal. And when I got done preaching, it was about praise and the power of praise and worship. A scripture came into my heart in Isaiah where the Bible says that take the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That one of the things that praise does is it supernaturally knocks out depression. And when I was praying in the salvation call, the Lord said, "You need to share that verse." And when he told me that, he gave me my testimony. And I remember my testimony that I wouldn't, if I'd have known those things back then, it would have spared me a whole lot. And if you don't know the testimony, I'll share it. Even if you do know the testimony, well, here's what the Holy Spirit told me this morning. He said, some people are going to be set free from this place today. Not just because maybe some people are dealing with depression, but God's going to say some things in this testimony that are going to set you free in your thinking that will help you. And when it happens, you'll know. And so anyways, I back then I had no idea how God was moving or anything. But whenever he tells me to share this testimony, it sets people free. It helps people. And so, well, anyways, back to that story. That's what I was thinking. I was trying to think of what I was saying. And so we were over there. And I mentioned that after service. I said, if you got to leave, leave. But, you know, Lord puts on my heart, I got to be obedient to God. And I said, you know, I brought up that scripture. I said, you know, praise will knock out depression. Praise will knock out depression. It's an evil thing. Well, after service, and I told my testimony about what I'm going to share with you, And I saw a group of people standing over by somebody, and this person was crying. They don't go to the church anymore, but wonderful people, you know, and they were crying, and I said, man, you go minister as far as I went over to them. I said, what's going on, you know? And they said, Pastor, you know what? When you got done to the salvation call, I made up my mind. I was going home to kill myself this afternoon. But then you showed me there's a way out. The avenue of praise is my way out. Well, I didn't know that, but the Spirit of God knew that. And so it set them free. Amen. Praise God. That testimony and how I wish I would have known that. But anyways, back in fall of 1996, you know, I was expelled from school and my life was just not going the right direction. And, you know, I thought, well, I just thought the best way was to check out, you know. And I busted through my dad's gun cabinet at home, and I had a blue JanSport backpack. I took his .357 Magnum and I stuck it in my backpack. And I went and drove down the old oil and gas road that we have in Frewsburg there at our old property. It drives down and then it goes you know, down a few hundred yards and then it cuts to the right. And I cut to the right and I sat in that vehicle. And I was convinced, you know, I'm going to take my life. You know, I just thought that was the best. I'll tell you, it's a sad place to be, you know, but let me help you with some things here. And so anyways, I was convinced, so I cocked the hammer of that gun and I put it in my mouth and I was ready to kill myself. And right before I did, you know, I was shaking, crying, you know, I didn't really, truly, I don't think deep down wanted to die, but I thought it was the only way. And so I went to go to pull that trigger, but before I did, all of a sudden, a neon sign appeared in front of my face. And that neon sign flashed on and off, on and off, on and off. Well, on that neon sign was the word eternity. And it was uppercase E and all the rest were in lowercase, and it was written in cursive, and it flashed white, on and off, neon sign, just on and off. Eternity, eternity, it was there. And I had grown up in a church that had mentioned hell, talked about heaven. But I didn't know where I would go once I knew eternity was real. And as soon as I pull that trigger, I'm checking out into that place. And the fear of going to hell stopped me from doing that. Now, I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know that I had a vision. I didn't know anything about visions. I didn't know that that was God doing that back then. So what I did, and I'll get back to that story, what I did the next 5 years, because the depression didn't go away. You see, God's existing everywhere, but if people don't have knowledge of God, they suffer. Amen. Even though God was trying to speak to me, God works through human beings. God still needed a person to come to me and tell me about him. Well, someone must have been praying for me enough to get God to be able to move on the earth to give me that vision. What that vision did is it spared my life because I knew I wouldn't take my life, but the next 5 years, I still wanted to. And so to fill that void, I turned to alcohol. I turned to doing drugs. I turned to gambling. I turned promiscuous lifestyle. Just not a good, just depressed, you know, completely depressed. Just try to fill the void, you know. And then, of course, I got born again in 2002. But if I would have known that was God and pursued that avenue, it would have spared me. Now, this is where it's going to set some people free. People said to me, were you afraid to pull the trigger because if you kill yourself, you go to hell? There's this misconception in church that people that commit suicide go to hell. Well, let me ask you a question. Does a born-again person that's a born-again Christian who's got cancer, when they die, do they go to hell? No. No, why? They died of a sickness. Amen. Well, suicide is a sickness of the mind. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a sickness of the mind. My mind was sick. And people say, well, you know, you kill yourself, you go, that's not true. If you're born again and you're sick with cancer, you go to heaven. You're born again and you're sick in your mind. Now listen, let me help you with something here. Because here's another thing that's going to set a lot of people free, whether you have someone that dealt with suicide or someone that just died in your life. One of the worst things you can do, because we're believers of the Bible, right? We believe that you have to accept Jesus to go to heaven. That's what he teaches, right? He's the only way. And you might think to yourself, well, I had a loved one pass away from whatever reason. I had a friend, a family member, a loved one pass away, and there was no evidence in their life that they were born again. There was no evidence in their life that they loved God. They didn't go to church. They didn't worship Jesus. They didn't speak it. And your thoughts will be, and especially the devil will hop on that thought, that they're spending eternity in hell. Well, first of all, let me tell you something. Number one, it does you no good to think like that. It does you no good to think on that thought. And number two, here's why. In a person's lifetime, all the minutes and seconds and weeks and days and months and years that go by, all it takes is one crying out to God, one time, to cry out to Jesus. You say, Pastor, you got to have scripture on that. I do. Remember when he hung on the cross? And there was a criminal to his left and a criminal to his right. And one of the criminals said, I don't believe in you. It's not you. You know, if you're Jesus, get us off this cross. And the other criminal, who wasn't a churchgoer, who was a bad person, who was on the cross, in his last moments, one small moment in life, said, I believe. And Jesus didn't say, oh, sorry, you didn't do enough good things. Oh, sorry. Listen, when somebody passes away, Jesus accepted him, didn't he? When somebody passes away and you don't know their salvation, you don't know what happened, it does you zero good to think on that they're in hell. In fact, I would tell the devil, and I would come back with something positive of, listen, it only would take 3 seconds out of a whole lifetime to cry out to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't there for their whole life. And so I choose to believe that they made a decision for Jesus before they passed. Amen. And that's why I choose to believe that. I'm not going to accept any other thought. Why? Because it doesn't do me any good anyways to meditate on it. And it's true that it only takes that much. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. That's it. They could have heard something. They could have been at home at night and heard a salvation call on TV or someone, or they're in their most depressing places or in their most hard places, and they had one simple cry out to Jesus. That's what you need to think on. Amen. That's what you need to think on. You don't think anything else. Don't let the devil tell you that stuff. He's a liar. And in fact, I'd be wondering, why is the devil tormenting me so much with that thought? Because he's the father of lies. Why does he want me to believe that? Amen? God's not dealing with you that way. God's not dealing with you through torment and anguish. That's not how he works. He's a God of peace and mercy. And I'm thankful that he's merciful to save people. Amen? So my point with that whole story is that 5 years prior to the service in the Fruity Flaky and the Nutty Church, amen, I had an experience with God. But I didn't know it. I didn't recognize it. You know, because people don't understand, and we're going to see in this series, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in the Bible how God is moving in your life, how God is manifesting in your life, and then it's up to you to do with it. If you're good ground, you'll take it and say, okay, I've seen him move. He is real. Amen? Because let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I don't understand. If God is real, then the mundane doesn't cut it anymore. If he's real, then just living casually for him, it's not possible anymore. If you really are going to spend eternity in heaven and stand before him face to face, if that's really going to happen, average living won't cut it anymore. But a full charge and diving in with him will be the only thing that will satisfy you. How can you live half-hearted for him when he's real? Amen. Praise God. And my point for this series is to draw you closer to him. Because the closer you are to him, the closer he comes to you. And the more of God in your life, the better you'll be. Oh, how things, will move and change. Praise God. He's faithful, isn't he? Let's pray. Father, we worship you. We're thankful. We're looking forward to what you have for us, Father. A little different service, but it set the table for where we're going, Father. What we're going to experience. Hallelujah. 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 If you've lost a loved one and you're not sure of their salvation and you've been tormented in your mind, you right now, you tell, it's today's the end of that. I choose no longer to believe on the negative. I choose to believe. Because it does you no good to do otherwise. I choose to believe. Just because you don't have evidence of people being born again doesn't mean they weren't. Doesn't mean they didn't cry out to him. You tell the devil, today's the last day I'm letting you torment me with that thought. You don't believe that anymore. You don't believe that anymore. You say, I thank you, Lord. You're merciful. And Father, all it would have taken would have been a short cry from their heart. That's it. No more tormenting thoughts from this point forward. No more letting the devil run you ragged to make you think. Hallelujah. You open your eyes real quick. This will help you. I was supposed to minister to a guy that you're going to laugh at his name. His name was Dick Winker. Sounds like a cartoon character or something, right? I mean, a sweet old man. And the Spirit of God told me to minister to him one time. Lives next to her parents. Used to live next to her parents. Told me to minister to him. I was talking to him one time, and boy, he had a mouth on him, you know, and just he just didn't look the part at all of Christian or whatever. And the Lord told me to minister to him. And the way he talked, he was so bold about the way he was, you know. And he's a nice guy, but just so bold that I got afraid and didn't talk to him, and he died without me telling about Jesus. And for the longest time, the thought tormented me that, he was going to be in hell, and that it would be my fault. And Lord ministered to me along those lines about that. But I came to the conclusion. I told the devil to shut up about that situation. Stop talking to me about that. I'm not going to receive that anymore. And every time the devil comes, I say, no, stop that. All it would have taken him and his whole lifetime was a small opportunity. Even though, what I'm telling you, even though I know in my heart, don't understand what I'm saying? Because you don't, even though I know in my heart, he's probably not in heaven because of me. Because Lord's ministered to me about some things and helped me move on. Even though I know that, I tell the devil to shut up. I don't have a pass. I don't go by that pass. And I say, devil, it still would only taken him a second to do it. Still only taken him a second to do it. Well, I'm just not going to let the devil talk to me. Stop listening to the devil. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Just you tell the devil to shut up. You don't know. They had many years. They had many seconds. All they needed was 3 to 5. That's all. That's how merciful God is. That's all that guy had to do on the cross was, Lord, I believe in you. How long did that take? 1 second? Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I believe in you. Jesus said, okay, you're coming. He didn't have to pray some elaborate prayer. He didn't have to jump through some hoops. He didn't have to fill out some membership papers. He didn't have to have a certain church attendance. Nope. He just said, Lord, I believe. What's calling the name of the Lord? Jesus. Jesus. All someone would have to say is Jesus. And Lord would say, absolutely. I'll save you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Can we worship him for his mercy? How merciful is he that a person can be a criminal and live their whole life against the things of God, go to die and be sentenced to death because of it, and yet cry out to Jesus, and the Lord with merciful and loving arms welcomes him in. We serve a God of mercy. Oh, we love you, Lord. Father, we're going to experience you in these next few weeks. I'm going to point out to people, Father, we're going to see how you're moving on this earth because you're real, because people need to start living in a reality of your realness, Father. You want to manifest and show yourself strong in our lives just like you wanted to do that in Samuel's life, but he had no idea. And if Eli would have not been there, he'd have not known. If somebody else would have, or if Eli would have not said anything to him, or if somebody else would have been there that didn't know it was you, he would have just thought that they was being messed with, or that he was hearing voices, but it was you the whole time. Father, we need to learn these things, so help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I know everybody in here is born again. I know that. But there are people who might be listening right now or in the future. And if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on earth. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, there's a way you can know. If in your heart you know, man, this Jesus thing, I know it's real. I do believe in my heart that he died and rose again. I do believe that. Well, if you can say that that's the truth, all you have to do is ask him to come in. That's it, just like that guy did. That guy knew Jesus was real, and he said, Lord, I believe. Well, if you believe in the Lord and you believe that Jesus died and rose again, all you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for saving those people. Let's just finish with worship. If you believe he's real, you can't not worship him. Because that's what he likes. That's what he likes. You say, but that's not what I like. But we're not here for what you like. We're not here for what you like. We're here because he likes it. We know you like it, Father. You like it when we praise you. So we worship you this morning. We honor you and love you and bless you. We get past ourselves and put our focus on you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We bless you, Lord. Is there anything else you want to do, Father, before we pray for the food this morning? Is there anything else you want to do in our midst, Father? Anything else you want to do in our midst? Anything else you want to do in our midst? Anything else you want to do in our midst? Anything else you want to do in our midst? Anything else? I'm just checking with headquarters. Praise God. We worship and magnify you and bless your name. We love you, Lord. We're just so grateful and so thankful. Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. We bless you this morning. We worship you this morning. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. And remember this, the devil deals with you in fear. The devil deals with you in torment. The devil deals with you through condemnation. The devil deals with you through guilt. So if you're being dealt with in your mind with guilt, condemnation, fear, and torment, that's not coming from your Father. Don't accept those. Reject those thoughts. They're not for you. Father, we bless you and we love you. Father, we thank you for all the people that were kind enough to prepare something, whether they bought something, whether they made something. Father, took their time to do it. Father, we thank you and we ask you to bless each and every person that was so kind to bring something, Father, to make something. And Lord, we just call this food blessed to our body. We thank you for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, everybody, give everybody, the workers a little bit of time. You're dismissed. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30.